welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. If you're ever going to be caught out in inclement weather on the mountains or hills of northern England, having met Mark Reed, founder of Team Walking, I can think of no other person I'd rather have as my guide. Mark's passion for the outdoors is only outshone by his desire to share it with others. He's written many guidebooks, led countless walks, and facilitated workshops in the hills, and has notched up mountain leadership and training qualifications by the score. In this interview, we talk about creative thinking, as I've just joined one of his regular seasonal networking events with local businessmen and women in the Yorkshire Dales. However, the interview opens with Mark describing a recent philosophy walk that he co-devised with community philosopher Graham Tiffany, revealing how walking with others can take you into deeper thoughts.
What I find with that is that because it's so focused about thought and about the outdoors and what stimulates thought, is it really makes you delve deeply into ideas and concepts and thoughts. So you come away thinking really quite profoundly about specific things, which sounds a bit sort of, you know, what's all that about? But until you've been on it, as you go out, you start to look at ideas that are generated. We went to a stone circle up on the moors in the mist, and you don't need any other stimulus than that to start thinking, well, why is it here? And then you start thinking, and conversations flow from that. So I find them fascinating, because rather than just walking past things, it just makes you stop and think, which is geography as well, of, you know, why is it here and who put it here and what was their motivation? Because we don't know the answers to that, because it was never written down, or it's just guesswork and educated guesswork.
And was that quite a popular walk? Did people sign up for that?
It did, yes. Yeah, I think there was 10 people on it. But we don't want more than that. That's full. Because with 20, you can't have those discussions.
No.
So you need to have reasonable-sized groups so that there's different opinions and different thoughts and people challenging and questioning, but not too many people.
Philosophy in the pub is very popular these days.
It is, yes, yeah.
And I think, having spoken to other people, they talk about a rising popularity amongst people going on pilgrimages.
There is, yes.
And walking appears to be a sort of unconventional, nonconformist way of finding some meaning to one's life. I think you're tapping into that with a philosophy.
It is. Yes, I think the whole pilgrimage is something we've been doing for thousands of years, and it is that journey of thought and reflection and time for reflection. So there's a whole, the purpose of a pilgrimage, whether it's St. Cuthbert's Way here or there's many pilgrimage routes, is it's time for thought. And so the end result of where you get to was the end of that process. So there's reasons for it. And I think philosophy and pubs, I've been to a couple of those, and they're great fun. But there's something different about walking. It's stimulating thought and minds, and there's more out there to stimulate thought in the outdoors.
I've just been on a networking event.
Yes.
So tell my listeners a little bit about what you're getting from running a networking event, and I think that will start to reveal what takes place on a networking event. So why did you start networking, and what's it all about? You
know? Well, I started 10 years ago, and the idea was that to bring together networking, but in an enjoyable environment. So I was out walking with some friends who are self-employed, like I'm self-employed, and we were talking about the value of networking, and then we just came up with the idea to go out walking with it. And so I came up with this idea of networking in the hills, and I think when I looked at it at the time, 10 years ago in 2008, I was the first person to do that, combine the two things. But what I do know is that when you're walking, your mind, you think better, you expand your mind, you come up with good thoughts, good conversations. There's also something quite levelling about walking side by side with people in beautiful environments. So it's a chance to think, reflect, generate ideas and talk to people about your business and their business, which, especially for self-employed people, we don't do enough of. So it's that opportunity to spend time with other like-minded business people.
And you do this on a regular basis, but not that frequently.
No, I do it quarterly with the seasons, really. So December, March, June and September, which gives people time to... I get regulars coming along. I've been doing it, say, for 10 years. And then always, obviously, getting new people to come along. I only do this in Yorkshire, but I vary it, and I have, obviously, a great pool of people from Leeds, York area. So we do it in the Yorkshire Dales, North York Moors, rural North Yorkshire.
And how did you get to know this area yourself? What are you, a country bumpkin or what?
Well, I'm from Harrogate in North Yorkshire, and I love the Yorkshire Dales. And that inspired me, a love of the landscapes of Yorkshire Dales, to do a degree in geography. And then when I left university...
You too, huh?
And,
I've got one of them.
Have you? Yes. Well, it's a degree of everything around you, isn't it? And how humans interact with the landscape. So it's a fascinating area. And then when I left university, I went to Lancaster. So I used to go a lot to the Dales and the Lake District. I got a job with Tetley's in Leeds. And then combined the two loves, really, which are landscape and old-fashioned pubs, and wrote a book in my spare time. That came out 21 years ago called The Inway to the Yorkshire Dales. Then I gave up my job and wrote 17 books.
I mean, hang on a moment. I gave up my job and wrote 17 books. I mean, first of all, there's a lot going on there. I mean, first of all, having the courage of giving up your job and saying, I'm going to make a living out of writing and walking.
That's right,
a lot of people have dreamt to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sort of dream, isn't it? But you actually...
It was a dream. And
you fulfilled it.
But it was more than a dream. It was a passion and a vision, and I had to do it. Some things in life just are so obvious. You've got to follow them. And I was working at that time in Birmingham, looking after pubs there, and it was just not what I wanted to do or who I was. And in my spare time, I was writing this book, and it was a passion to share that knowledge with, at that time, a typewriter, you know, in the mid-90s. It took me 7 years to put the book together, and I never thought it would get published. It was really sort of a love letter to the hills. It's a thirst for knowledge, because the more I read up about places I went to in the Yorkshire Dales, the more I was curious.
Not for a thirst for beers, thirst for knowledge.
the pubs, I still view them as living museums. They're part of our culture and our heritage, and some of them are very old, go back and still serve the same purpose of refreshing travellers. So they're not places for me to go and sit and drink beer till I'm drunk. They're places to go and listen to the local people and hear stories, and it's just that part of living history. And so in a rural village, if there's no pub, there's no heart to it. There's nowhere to go, you're just a passing observer. So if you go into a pub, you become immersed in culture and heritage and history of that area. And so I'm passionate about pubs. I'm passionate about landscapes.
Was it 21 years ago when you were training and getting trained as an outdoor mountain leader? Because you're that as well. And I want to get on that you're not just doing 4 networking walks a year.
Yeah.
That wouldn't sustain you. And these 17 books, although I imagine they're still in print and selling by the ton, they're probably they're probably not paying you such huge royalties. So there's a lot more to Mark.
There is, yeah. I mean, the book came out 21 years ago, and then I thought life's too short, and I handed me notice, and I had enough money saved up because I was living in rented accommodation and just me, and I had enough money to save to live for 2 years, and I thought I'll give it a go. What's the worst that could happen? Whether I do that now, but the right moment was there to have a go. And I knew I had to get half a dozen books out. But then I was doing another thing. I was writing for newspapers and about walking, you know, the weekly walks they have, and then various magazines, earning other money. But, yeah, it took me 10 years to write the 17 walking books throughout the whole of the north of England. But then things changed.
So you also had to walk those walks.
I did, yeah. Thousands and thousands of miles. And I kept a tally and walks. So I started writing them down the first year, and I kept a tally of how many miles I've walked since I started, and I'm just coming up now to 19,000 miles. But these are boot-on miles; they're not, you know, walking to the shops. They're hill walks in the Dales and Lakes.
You'd have to reconnoitre those walks without the internet and GPS.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I used to love going in. I still have a GPS. I don't. It's all about mapping to me. They're works of art. Maps just tell you so much. Now, if you have a GPS system, all it is a red dot on a map anyway, and so you still need to understand maps, and GPS don't make decisions for you. So for me,
the most complex known thing in the universe is our brain. All I do is use my brain to work out where I am on a map. And so maps are the thing to use because they show what is everything around you, the geography of where you are. But then I'd go into churches, and because church is the oldest building and a wealth of history. And then going into pubs, asking people. It's the little nuances that people like. So of understanding little nuggets of knowledge, you know, sheep breeds, what birds are just from a call. It's that that people want is the value of a walk, not the process of walking. That sort of groundwork of walking on my own or with my dog at that time, research I found really valuable. But I found it then became, have this knowledge, how can I share it? And it was through the written word. But then the internet came along and bookshops started closing and I saw the change. So, and I stopped seeing people out with guidebooks and they started seeing people out with bits of printed paper, invariably getting lost. So I thought, well, here's an opportunity. And also think about how can I use the knowledge I've got. So I diversified and took the various awards to take people out, the Mountain Leader Award. And that was 11 years ago. As the book sales were declining, then the guiding people was increasing. And now that's all I do. I don't do books anymore. I just take people out.
You take people out, but you're teaching them and training them yourself. You're not just... I mean, you do guided walks, but you were telling me earlier on that you actually teach them skills.
I do, yeah.
For themselves to get around in the mountains.
Yeah, to empower people, and that's what people want, to learn skills. I mean, the business roughly is in thirds, so a third of my business is teaching people navigation skills from the fundamental basics to right through to the most advanced skills to deal with any situation, any conditions. And those are really rewarding to see people do that, and I've had a number of people go on to take their own awards, Mountain Leader Awards, and set up their own businesses. And so that's good. And then a third is guided walks, so taking people out for walking weekends, so I do wild camping trips in Scotland. That sort of thing, being adventurous, but also taking people out who want to be adventurous but might, you know, want to improve their confidence or lack skills, who then want to be taken out to do that, and then empowering them to show them how to do that. And then I do a lot of corporate team days outdoors, going walking with groups. And so net walking is 4 days of my year, and I'm out walking just short of about 230 days a year on various groups, various walks. So it's busy.
So now you're a 5 day a week man.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and I work every other weekend.
So how do you relax?
I go and sit in an office. I love walking. I'd go with my family walking, go camping with them, because I want to share that, because it's so rewarding in many ways, and you know, it's been well documented all the benefits of walking. And all the health benefits and the mental benefits and all that sort of thing. So I can see the value of it, and I want to share that with my children and hopefully inspire them. And if it does, it's great. And also other people as well. There's a load of people who want to get out walking. You see them all the time, but they go on the usual routes, the usual places, you know, the usual mountains, Snowdon, Scarfell Pike, Malham Cove areas. And there's something about getting away from it all on your own hill with your own time. And you can do that in this country. It's very busy with lots of people, but there's still a sense of wellness and that quiet solitude you can get. It's in giving people the skills to do that.
I've been out on your networking event, and it's June, and pretty good for walking because it's not overly hot.
Yeah.
Tell us just there a little bit about the area that we've been in.
Well, we're up on the Swinton estate near Massham in North Yorkshire, which is famous for its breweries. So we're at a place called the Bivouac. People don't really know this area or that this is here, and it's actually quite hard to find. It's down various narrow lanes. But we're looking across the Lower Yure Valley, and we can see in the distance the Vale of Mowbray stretching out to the North York Moors, and that's about 30 miles away. So you get some fantastic views right across North Yorkshire. You know, North Yorkshire's the biggest county, and it's got two national parks and various areas of outstanding natural beauty. So it really is an amazing place for variety of terrain to go walking. Of course, the coast to coast comes through here. It is that variety as well, and ruralness of it. And we're looking today as the walk, and you know, noticing the birds and there's curlews and seeing the swallows and traditional hay meadows here as well. So there's so much to see close at hand, as well as the 30-mile views.
Well, the walk itself that you led us on was a fairly easy terrain walk. There were I think, eight of us, including you and I. So how many people are you normally taking out, not necessarily on your quarterly networks, but you know, what are the sort of size of groups that you usually like to work with?
On navigation courses, I limit it to a maximum of eight people because you want to give people the opportunity to learn and ask questions and also not hide as well, because we often fear making mistakes, but that's how we learn. And so what you don't want people to do is to hide the fact they're not learning. So I like to give people in a supportive way the opportunity to show the skills and also learn properly. On the mountains, you can't look after more than eight people. So the ratios I work for on the mountains are eight. When you see big groups out of 20, 30, with a guided group, you can't look after them. So you need to be able to look after them. But on lower areas here, then, I mean, on these networks, sometimes you get sort of 12 people. But beyond that, you're struggling to talk to everyone because you want to have good conversations with people. So the ideal group side will be roughly about 10 people.
But it was clear to me that, A, you've done this before, and B, you put a lot of work in this because you guided us with some ideas and things. Had you pre-planned that?
Not the thoughts, because I'm led by what the people are saying. So we obviously meet for a cup of tea, and really it's about what you want to get out of the day. So ask people, you know, to introduce themselves. But then, you know, why they're here. Something has happened on that whole cycle of change. Something has provoked somebody to press a button or to phone me up or to send a booking form in to come out on today. Now, if it's a navigation course, something's happened. Then say, I really need to get some skills. On this network, someone's thought, actually, I could do with spending a day doing something about my business. So I'm interested in what that thought was, what people want to get out of the day. And then from that, I start to write down ideas. And that is the stimulus. And it's the initial one. So then we start to say, should we talk about this? Or today we talked about creativity and innovation in your business. So then that becomes a bit of a focus. Now, if it moves from that, that's absolutely fine. So I do like to try and, you know, facilitate it so that when we have finished, people are going away with some ideas and thoughts. And that's all we can do, is just stimulate the thought of, and then because there's eight business people here with combined hundreds of years of business experience combined, then we're trying to pull from that things that work and good ideas. And then you go away, try them. And if they work, that's great. So with today, it was talking about creativity. The first thing we need to do is define what we mean by it. And we have eight ideas what that is. And then we start to share thoughts and come up with, actually, what do we mean by that? And then we start to talk about what the value of it is. What value is being creative might have to your business and to you and to other people. And then from that, we then start to think about how can we be more creative, what it means to be creative and what it might look like, and just see how the conversations flow, really. Plus, we talk about lots of other things in between.
And the actual going on a walk, your participants actually find that creative too, don't they?
Yes, they do. And the feedback, what people got out of it, is always more than we think at the beginning, which is the beauty of it. The outcomes are what comes out. And because the whole walk is a stimulus thought, then we're thinking about other things. And one thought, it's like building a wall of ideas, is you put a brick on. Let's talk about creativity, and then suddenly it opens up loads more, but you've got to keep building the bricks, and it creates this... Yeah, it just leads different places, which is what it should do. It's a dialogue, really, of thoughts.
OK, so you've pulled on your boots, you've walked 19,000 miles. I'm going to put you on the spot. I need two walks you recommend.
Depends on the purpose. It all depends. I think my favourite walk is with my children, with a wonderful view, and we're happy walking along. My daughter's nine, walking along hand in hand with her. That's the favourite walk. It doesn't matter where I am. And I haven't got a favourite walk, really, other than to say the most beautiful place I've been to is Swaledale in the Yorkshire Dales. It's just something about the light and the land and the hills and the history, the lead mines, the archaeology, the people, the dialect, the hay meadows, and there's some great pubs. And so that's beautiful. But everywhere's beautiful. It's like saying what's better, a strawberry or a peach. So,
all right, now.
You haven't timed me down.
No, so
okay, the best walk would be Mewker in Swaledale, up to Keld, and back over Kisden Hill. If I was to say the world's going to end tomorrow, I'd go on that walk. That's what I do.
Is there anyone out there who inspired you at the beginning?
Yes, there's two people that stand out. One was from school, because I went to a grammar school. It was a very old-fashioned grammar school, and I was often told I wasn't very good. But I had a teacher that said I was good at geography, and that changed everything. It changed my life. And we always have good and bad teachers, and everyone always says this, you talk to, often they say that they're inspired by good teachers. But sometimes you have really great teachers that all they have to do is say something very small to then inspire you to think bigger. We call it brief interventions, I'd like to think about. And I try and do that as well, my own children and people I meet. It's just, you can just create a bit of a spark of interest, then that can lead to great things. And I would like to thank that teacher, but I don't know. I can't remember the name, but it changed my life. It cost me life. And also, one of the greatest, the people I used to read all the books about that inspired me to go to the Yorkshire Dales was James Herriot, who came from North Yorkshire, Alf White, his real name. I didn't know him, and I remember on the news when he died, it was a great moment of sadness, because I used to enjoy watching the TV programmes and reading all his books, and I still do now. And that introduced me really to the Yorkshire Dales and finding out about the Yorkshire Dales. How beautiful they are. So I'd like to thank those two.
Well, I'd like to thank you for A, inviting me to come on the network, and B, for giving me this interview.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. It's been really great.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Mark Reed of Team Walking. If you have any views on this interview or in any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.